So our next presentation is going to be from Sonia Jain from the Health and Human Development Program. And it's called Tattoo Removal Services from Formerly Gang-Affiliated Urban Youth, Understanding and Addressing Needs in San Francisco Bay Area's Alameda County. And I believe she also has a community partner here with her as well. A social epidemiologist at WestEd Health and Human Development Program, Dr. Jain is currently directing several multidisciplinary research and evaluation studies that focus on developing integrated strengths-based programs, policies, and systems to mitigate risks and enhance protective factors. Dr. Jain received her doctorate from Harvard School of Public Health, examining social determinants of resilience. She has worked across multiple sectors in violence prevention programs and is dedicated to bettering lives of high-risk youth. Dr. Jain.
Good morning, everybody. Can you hear me okay? And I would also like to introduce my co-presenter. This is Adriana Alvarado. She's the director of Project New Start at Alameda County Public Health Department for the last 15 years. And she's also directing the alcohol and tobacco control programs. So we have 20 minutes to do this. It's actually very exciting to be able to talk about tattoo removal services for formerly gang-affiliated youth. There's no financial. The learning objectives are essentially to be able to share with you what we're learning about some of these youth. There's not a whole lot of literature out there from what we've learned from a basic lit review about formerly gang-affiliated youth. So we're trying to basically through the tattoo removal services, really understand what their needs are, what their strengths are, and what kind of services they need. In terms of background, urban youth who have been either ex-gang members or have had some affiliation with gangs are highly vulnerable, but rarely identified as a public health priority. Nationally, there's over 24,000 active gangs, 800,000 gang members, and these are probably underestimations. Statewide in California, there's 30,000 gang members. 60% are Hispanic, 30% African American, 6% Asian Pacific Islanders, and 4% white. And as some of you may know, there's a growing number of Hispanic gangs and Asian gangs. Oakland is one of the most violent cities with over 10,000 gang members on the streets daily and over 65 organized gangs. So it's, I think it's considered one of the most dangerous cities in the nation. 9 to 11% of Oakland middle and high schoolers report being a gang member. So this is based on the California Healthy Kids Survey that's done statewide. And again, we think this is an underestimation. Two-thirds of youth in Alameda County Juvenile Justice Center reported, this is about 15 years ago, that they were interested in tattoo removal services in order to enhance their educational occupational goals. They had stigma of former affiliation with gang in part due to tattoos. So they were very interested in removing their tattoos because it was actually essentially a barrier to getting educational or jobs out there. And that's how Project New Start came about. So Adriana's going to share with you some of the history of Project New Start.
So, Sonia, what did you touch to move your arrows?
Okay.
So, you know, we do individual needs assessments with the individual youth. And we also went out in the community and did various focus groups with the juvenile hall population. And what we found is that the individual need mirrored the juvenile hall group need. And so some of what actually, this is one focus group that we did, and we actually asked them, and you see the top right corner, like, dream a dream. If you could be something, what would you be? So things like writer, actor, contractor, doctor, lawyer. You know, they're saying all these things. And so then we said, well, what do you need to be all those things? What would you need? And so what you see is you'll see on the map, on this map you'll see they want more computers, they want job training, they want more teachers and tutors, they want community classes, they want work programs outside. So, and this, like I said, it mirrored most of what the individual need for the participants in the program. So we thought, okay, our Oakland youth, not only the tattooed youth, but our Oakland youth really need all of these services. I'm sorry, you said this one? Okay, thank you. Historically, our program has been community and community-driven and youth-driven. Sonia mentioned that we started the program kind of out of the need for the youth population. This program actually started out of the call for help from a juvenile who was in and out of juvenile hall 6 or 7 times. He had various tattoos on the face, on his arms. He had 2-4. His gang was to die for. And if he didn't remove them, he knew that he would be stigmatized for the rest of his life, on top of the fact that he liked this girl and she told him that he was a thug and he needed to remove his tattoos. And I'm happy to say that this young man graduated from high school with honors, went to St. Mary's College, graduated with honors, and then went to Brown University to become a lawyer. So yay, yay, yay. We also have offered tattoo removal for free as a method of promoting youth resilience and youth development. When you think about the cost, it's anywhere between $3,000 and $5,000 to remove just one tattoo. So it's very expensive. And then we've had the support of our County Board of Supervisors and our healthcare agency. We've partnered with our general hospital and the probation department. And we've had this existing partnership for 15 years. Our resiliency and youth development framework has focused on the whole youth child, looking at the family in which they come from, their partners, and the community. All of the volunteers are doctors, nurses, front desk people, counselors, mentors, therapists, CBOs. All of them have bought into the idea of creating a positive youth environment. So really working on what does the youth need? You know, how can we help you? And I'm really happy for that, because when you think about the cost of that alone, it's astronomical. So we've developed this program and maintained it in a collaborative fashion. And we utilize education and job development or employment as a means of actually addressing a root cause of health inequity. So to be in the program, you have to be either in school or working or in a job training program. This is a poem that a youth wrote. It's just to kind of give you an idea of kind of the sentiment of what an individual faces. Something I just kind of maybe not read the whole thing, but maybe I've been working hard. I have been working very hard to change my life. Because of these markings, I'm denied employment. I'm looked upon as nothing. And I have to say that most of them feel that way. They have very, very low self-esteems and feeling very dejected kind of with the course of their life once we get them. So it's really a lot of work to do. Our aim is to provide life-changing opportunities for these youth. And you'll be surprised that once you remove the tattoo or begin to remove the tattoo, they come to life. You know, there's a kid who I might see the first time. He has a hoodie on, and he has a hat, baggy, doesn't want to really talk to me. And then a year later, as the tattoos are removed, hey, Miss Alvarado, I'm taking that class. How's it going? So it's just really kind of this whole metamorphosis of, you know, seeing a young person kind of unravel. And we do that in a way where we're really kind of restoring their hope, building their self-esteem, And doing that through this, our resiliency model and implementing that. I think I alluded to this earlier. There's three methods in which a youth comes into our program. I mentioned that they have to be either in school or working. So oftentimes youth will just self-refer to the top middle. They'll be referred by a community-based organization or another public agency. One of our close partners has been the probation department. So they have to be either in school or working. They can't get another tattoo. We serve individuals between the age of 13 and 25. We closely case manage them to a point where it's very kind of insular, really trying to teach them to create this kind of care model for themselves. So the way it works is an individual also has to do 50 hours of community service work. No kid like these kids want to be on the street because they're marked and they're in danger. So we don't have them go out on the street picking up trash. So, but what I'll say is, what do you want to do in life? Okay, who do you want to be? Go and intern for that person. Tell them that you're in a youth program at the public health department and create an internship for yourself. Oh, I can do that? Sure, you can do that. And so we'll coach them along and show them how to kind of enter a work, you know, situation, being on time, how to dress, things of that nature. And so after 12 hours of giving into the community, what youth really think they're giving something to the community, but they don't realize is that we're engaging them back into community because they've been isolated, either through incarceration or on the fringe because they didn't finish school. Most of them have dropped out 8th grade, 9th grade, and never went back. And so then we'll do a tattoo removal treatment, and then they'll do more service time, and they also have a mentor, and that mentor's coaching them along the way, and as we're coaching the mentor. And so there's this whole continuum of people and care for the individual. I think that's it.
Great. So now I'll share with you some of the data. So this is a map of Alameda County. There's about 13 cities. This is the East Bay. So San Francisco is on the west-hand side of the Bay, and this is the East Bay Bay Area. And as you can see on the top left-hand side, that's predominantly Oakland. So East Oakland, West Oakland have some of the highest homicide rates and the crime rates in the county. That's also the blue dots actually to show you where most of the Project New Start participants live. So there's quite a bit of overlap in terms of their exposure to violence in the community because that's simply where they're living. The profile of formerly gang-affiliated youth, obviously very high unemployment rates, very low educational attainment. Like Adriana just mentioned, they're from 8th grade or 9th grade and they drop out. High rates of substance abuse, mental health issues, and recidivism, so going back into the system many times. And all of those and many other risks that tend to accumulate and sort of go hand in hand lead to poor overall health throughout their life. So it's actually very timely for us to intervene when they're on their way to removing their tattoos. Some of the data that we collected, again, it's over the last 15 years, so we're just sharing with you some of the highlights. There's a database that Project New Start has kept track of with intake and discharge forms and assessments that are done. Case notes are part of this. There's satisfaction surveys that are done at different time points. There was focus groups that have been done with the youth, especially as they get different trainings and whatnot, and lit review. In terms of the sample, it's very ethnically diverse, and we actually have a report that lays out all the details of who the participants are. But if you look at the age group, it's pretty wide, it's 13 to 25, so it includes the young adults. So again, some of their needs are very different from the teens and the early adolescent years. The average number of tattoos a youth has is 4.6. And you can see the disparity between males and females. The males, which are in the blue bar, tend to have higher number of tattoos, usually up to 9. And females tend to have lower number of tattoos, 1 to 2. So there's quite a bit of variations. And in terms of the treatments that they receive, again, this is over a year, year and a half, 46% of the participants get 1 to 4 treatments that they need to come in for and whatnot. 32% get 5 to 9. So it's quite a few times that they're actually coming in to get their tattoos removed. The primary reasons for getting their tattoos removed, first of all, for males, was gang-related. So they either joined a gang or as part of becoming a member, they had to get their tattoos. Peer pressure, that was pretty common for females, just to be cool. Those were some of the primary reasons for getting a tattoo. And when they were asked about primary reasons for removing a tattoo, positive change or having a new start in life, to avoid violence, they didn't want to get back into the same lifestyle. Professional reasons, so they were either going back to school or getting a job, and they needed to. And several said it was a mistake. When we looked at their risk factors, so not just innately what they were, but really what they had been exposed to in their families, communities, and school systems, predominantly all of them had been exposed to violence. So whether that's at home or in the community, that's something we need to flesh out a lot more. They come from low-income, largely dysfunctional families, and we can talk about that forever in terms of what kind of risk factors that entails. They had never seen doctors or mental health providers. Many of them are highly uninsured population, so they don't have access to healthcare services or mental health services, which are much needed in this population. They're very anxious. They have difficulty sharing and opening up. So a lot of the internalizing and externalizing issues that you would expect. They've faced discrimination by employers and several other issues. So it's not one risk factor. It's actually a combination of factors that they're dealing with. In addition, they lack protective factors. So the structured opportunities at home, school, and community. And again, this is a domain that we have kind of summarized for you, but they've verbalized this through many different qualitative ways. Having supportive families. So if parents are around, they're just not present. The support isn't there. The relationship isn't there. Someone to talk to isn't there. No opportunity for after-school activities, or even within school, they don't feel like they fit in. Lack of positive peers and mentors. So I think a lot of these are nothing new, but this population, it's just much more prominent. Mm-hmm. In terms of some of the outcomes, we really wanted to not just look at negative or absence of negative, but also focus on positive and what's positive in their lives as a result of participating in Project New Start. 99% reported future goals related to furthering their education and employment. They had occupational aspirations, working in the public sector, including health, public safety, and I think there's a pipeline to work program now at the health department. Many have created a resume, they participated in job training programs, and are actively looking for job, which is great. They're highly motivated and focused in school. Many youth support their own families. So again, given the age variation, they have their own families to support and create positive environments by attending church and after-school activities. So they're trying to be a good father and sort of capitalize on their social support systems as much as possible. So when we looked at some of this data, 56% had successfully graduated from the program. But 38% either became inactive or dropped out. And we feel that it was because they had multiple stressors that the program or other supports were not able to meet. And that includes alcohol abuse, substance abuse, family issues. Sometimes they just couldn't make it to the program. Childcare issues, transportation, and high depression and trauma. And this is an area that I think we could further develop as well, is what else can be done. Project New Start is in the process of doing strategic planning. We started that last year with many of the volunteers that Adriana talked about to really get at how to meet those needs and how do you partner with various agencies and schools and counselors to better collectively meet the needs of these youth. The implications for practice is to be able to connect and expand with jobs, work-based learning opportunities, training programs, et cetera, provide extensive case management, care coaching model, something that Adriana and Kamrun are actually taking on at this point, is to develop a more comprehensive model of providing social, emotional, academic needs for these youth, not just removing tattoos and some case management, but really collectively. Provide additional supports to meet their basic needs, so such as transportation, childcare, tutoring. Expand partnerships with schools, and a lot of these already exist, but really formalizing, going for more funding, and really expanding some of this work. Increase focus on assessing and building on strength. So we did some of this, but given that this is a youth development and resilience model that we're trying to use, to really build on the strengths of these youth and their environments and their peers. And first of all, actually being able to assess some of that. So we're doing some of that, although I think that can be expanded as well. And I think research summary, it's a highly vulnerable population, but also highly resilient. They are dealing with cumulative risks. But what we're learning that what it takes to mitigate these risks is a village, relationships, partnerships, motivation, all collectively are needed to make a difference. And you really do need to get at the root causes, such as education, employment. This is really is a life-changing opportunity for these kids, not by next year, but for the rest of their lives, hopefully. And you really need a more holistic care coaching model. That's it. Thank you.